welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Energy. Tonight I have a Fabregas Science Boys High School Reunion. Alex D. Corville is here. Welcome.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me.
I was quite looking forward to meeting you. So I have a whole ton of questions for you. Was this like you were really like right out of high school or like your first film project? The film like really fun.
Yeah, we had a great time on this. It was technically my first feature. My first major project with was my show Pinheads, which ran for 2 seasons. But this was my first feature film. I had been on the hunt for I was always on the hunt for like making a feature because I had I had so much experience with making these, with making the series, and I kind of had this feeling that that it was kind of time to move to a feature, especially since there was this feeling, you know, the show kind of took as much work as a feature. Might as well up my ante.
What was your show about? Sorry, I don't know anything about the show you mentioned.
Pinheads, which has kind of gotten the secret nickname, it's Always Sunny in Akron. That'll give you an idea of what it was about. But it was about a group of guys at a bowl. A group of guys from Akron, Ohio, with these loud and over-the-top personalities, and they hung out at a bowling alley during their free time, though they worked at a radio station. And a lot of it was about the very absurd humor. Like, you know, there were a lot of fourth wall breaks, movie spoofs, you know, a lot of Family Guy style cutaways and stuff like that. It was very much like, it was a little bit IT Crowd, a little bit Pete and Pete, a little bit The Chris Elliott Show, Get a Life.
Okay, I got it. We're good to go. Okay, so writing your first feature, how long did this take you? Or was it easy to do because you'd already done the TV show?
Believe it or not, writing the first feature, I actually banged out my first draft in like a week and change. I don't know what happened. I just got this wild hair for doing this kind of comedy. And one day when I actually remember I was driving home from a scriptwriters group I was a part of, and I just had this bolt of inspiration because I was thinking about the sun, the I was thinking about how much I wanted to do kind of like a raunchy Animal House or Mallrats style comedy. And I was thinking about how, and I had this character Science Boy, and I was just thinking about all these ideas like reunions or parties or something. And then I thought about, wait a minute, what about a superhero going to his own reunion? And you know, certain jokes I felt like certain jokes just wrote themselves, like the scene where he's by way of example, the scene where he's floundering when people are asking him a bunch of sarcastic questions at the reunion. But yeah, in a bolt of inspiration I have not had before or since, I just banged this script out. And if I could say one thing, I actually wrote the script like shortly before or during the production of season 2 of Pinheads. And it might be a discussion for another day, but season 2 of Pinheads was in production for a while, and that actually gave me some time to polish my script for Science Boys High School Reunion.
So you're a writer, director, and actor in the film.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot of hats for a first feature. How would that feel during it?
Well, Doing Pinheads where I did the same thing definitely helped a lot. That gave me a lot of the experience with that. But a big thing that helped tremendously was the fact that shortly after writing the script, I met a director named Stephanie Hensley on the set of a short I was acting in, and we kind of just clicked on that set. And the fact that she kind of held my hand, that definitely helped a lot. I definitely feel like she was helping me with the with I feel like she was definitely helping with a lot of the technical aspects, while I was kind of helping with the creative aspects, like telling the actors what kind of performance I wanted and stuff like that.
Now, I really thought your actors and yourself are roughly the same age. Not everybody, but I'd say majority of them. Is that true? Because it really did feel like a high school reunion to me. You all seemed around the same age.
Yeah, there were a lot of there were a lot of discrepancies. BJ and Aaron, BJ the guy with the beard, and Aaron the blonde were both older than me, and Dominic, who played Scott, was not only younger than me, he was a little surprised that I was older than him. Like he was genuinely taken aback that I was older than him. But yeah, there were definitely discrepancies in age. We weren't all the same age.
So, the origin of the costume. I mean, I would say you are a superhero fan from watching the film.
Oh yeah.
So, where does that come from?
I knew I wanted the character to wear green, and the funny thing that happened was, about a year before we actually started rolling cameras on Science Boy, I wanted to go as pro wrestler Dalton Castle for Halloween. So I bought a morph suit, and I accidentally ordered green instead of gray. But
Huh.
you can call these things fate, you can call it karma, call it what you will. I feel like that ended up being the perfect color for my Science Boy. And months after that Halloween costume, when I was getting ready to make the movie, I actually started made a little proof of concept trailer. Most of what you see in the proof of concept trailer is very similar to it's basically just like alternate versions of what's in the movie. Like you see a lot of the same lines, and there's only one joke from this proof of concept that didn't end up in the movie, where I'm handing out release forms warning people that basically Science Boy did not benefit from Good Samaritan laws. And that's the only joke that's in my proof of concept that's not in the final film. But one reason I bring up the one reason I bring up the costume is and the and that proof of concept trailer is I didn't have the logo yet, so I just wear a plain green morph suit, and there are actually numerous there were actually kind of some steps to it. Like, there are still numerous YouTube videos where I'm just wearing because I was trying to promote the fundraiser. So I shot a whole bunch of YouTube videos where I'm just talking to the camera, trying to promote the film and the Indiegogo and the crowdfunding. And I'm just wearing that plane morph suit. There were different steps. One joke that actually made it into the movie was when a friend of mine, one of the things I did was I had a comedy show that was a fundraiser for the event, for the film, I should say. I had a fundraiser comedy show for the film, and it was one of the first times I wore the Science Boy suit in public. And I had a friend just roasted me over the fact that, well, let's just say there's a reason Science Boy wears underwear or overwear, and that's actually why that joke is in the movie, because that happened in real life, and I just thought that would be a funny inclusion in the movie. And one of the things I wanted is I thought it would be funny if Science Boy's logo were the periodic table of elements, but Stephanie added the SB inside the bottle test tube, and that is how we and that's I think that would although I think making his logo the periodic table of elements would have been funny, I kind of think that was a trade up just because the SB in the test tube kind of translates better for marketing. So that's how we came up with the costume.
Okay. Is there any reason why you wanted the play in the film to be the importance of being earnest?
Well, I gotta be honest, I did just pick something that was public domain, because believe it or not, when I first came up with the Science Boy character, I was going through a bit of a Jersey Boys kick, and I wrote this, and I created the character at a time when I was writing stuff. I was new to the whole filmmaking thing, so I wrote. Let's just say I was in the habit of writing without limits, so I said that Science Boy was obsessed with Jersey Boys, and then I realized, that's kind of copyright. I can't say that. So he says the importance of being earnest in the one scene, and that's why I changed, and that's why I just made up the fictional play Jersey Cats. And if I ever go further with that, my improv troupe gave me the idea for a fake song called "Oh, So Many Needles on the Beach." So if we ever expand into Jersey Cats, and the funny thing is, they told me. I remember some of my members, some of my improv troupe telling me, Alex, I know that's a fake play, but I kind of want to see it.
I love it. I love it. Okay. I've got two qu the yearbook. Who made the yearbook? Or is that a real yearbook?
I did just plaster pictures onto a real yearbook. Though I did also I did just plaster the pictures. The picture of me wasn't even made during production. I just had some And you might even be able to tell, because I actually got my teeth fixed in between taking that picture and filming that scene for the movie. I was actually just goofing off one day, and I thought it worked so well for the scene in the movie that I decided to include that as my character's yearbook picture. And it was just a combination of pictures I had access to that was used in the place.
Okay, how did you get your cast together? Because, like, again, I said they all you guys look very similar in age. So did you know all these people, or did
I
you
knew a few
cast?
of them. I knew a few of them before the making. I knew. There were a few people I knew beforehand. The Kaylee, the actress who played who played Jackie was recommended to me by a friend. She is the one holdover from that original, besides myself, she's the one holdover from the proof of concept trailer. There are several people throughout the movie who have roles that I had previous relationships with, Peter Toomey, BJ Halsell, a few of my friends from the comedy world, such as Vaughn Wesley and Bill Stone, both of whom have small parts. Some of them were people I worked with before. I actually offered anyone who was in that proof of concept trailer a chance to basically bypass the first audition and go straight to callbacks. But several people were cast by way of audition. Dominic, Becca, the DeFrancos, but Joseph Pledger, who played Killjoy, it's almost hard to believe, considering how well he played that character. It's almost hard to believe he wasn't there from the beginning. But after we lost the previous Killjoy, who appeared in a trailer or that proof of concept, Joseph was someone who I remembered from another project who I thought looked the part. So I called on him. And, this is one of the reasons I really appreciate the guy. He was able to fill in. He was almost last minute with how he was able to fill in, and he just did such a good job on that role. I mean, it's like I said, it's like people are almost in disbelief. Like, how was he not the guy from the beginning?
So your character, I mean, you wrote it, I get that. You're acting in it. You let your main character take so much abuse, I thought. Constant abuse. I'm like, so how does that feel as a writer, knowing you're setting yourself up for failure a lot?
Well, I mentioned that Science Boy originated in another script, and I guess it's just a case where, I do these things because I feel like, it's just funny that way. And when Science Boy was originally written as a sidekick to another character. And part of the joke was that he did get dumped on, but he was but he kept but he still stayed happy-go-lucky no matter what. And one of the lessons I learned from writing this is, man, it is hard to make a character just constantly happy-go-lucky when they're the central character. And happy-go-lucky, always upbeat, yada, 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 all that stuff when they are the central character. And by way of example, one joke that I was a little disappointed, there's a hint of it because I kept one of them in there, but one joke I'm a little disappointed I couldn't incorporate into when he was the lead character was that in my original script, Science Boy kept getting killed off like he was Kenny McCormick and showing back up with no explanation. But, a lot of it was just I thought it was funny, and in some cases, it was a little tough for filming, like I kept joking on set that I hope my major medical covers this filming. And in some cases, I was telling my actors that, like, I was telling them that, I am doing things that it's like, hey, I'm telling you to do these things. I'm doing them myself. And there were certain mishaps. Like, I joke that that Dominic hit me so hard in one scene that I forgot math.
Yes.
In the scene where he was carrying me around, I was actually sick several days afterward. I actually had to go to a doctor and get and get nausea medicine for it.
Okay, you have many, many, many locations I want to go over because Somebody's living room, and that would be right in the beginning. Whose living room is that?
That was actually my own living room. We lost the location we were gonna film at, so we just so it's just like, hey Alex, why don't we film at your place? Because it's like, well, this ain't coming up again.
Yeah, true.
It was also very beneficial when we had to do reshoots, and we had to do reshoots during the pandemic. Like, hey, good thing we can use that place.
Yes, you can. Classroom.
Yeah, a lot of the places we used were actually libraries. A lot of libraries are very a lot. A lot of libraries are actually very generous about were very generous about letting us film certain scenes in certain locations. And in fact, that was original. In fact, the reunion scene, because we had such a large set, was gonna. You can see the original version of the reunion in one of the trailers. And it was originally at a library, but it was actually at a library, but we thought that looked too stagnant. But the sad thing about that not being about the library reunion not being in the final cut, I kid you not, I actually, because one, this was the other benefit of having two directors, I could be securing a location while Stephanie was directing another scene without me there. Like, she was actually busy filming another scene while I went to the library to set everything up for the next shot, next shoot, whatever you want to call it. And I had the unfortunate responsibility of kicking out a kids' Lego club because they stayed over time. I had to kick
Ouch.
them out to film that scene, and it's not even in the final cut.
Ouch. Now let's go right back to that. Did parents give you crap for doing this?
No, I did not get. I actually didn't get it. I didn't get trouble. Literally, the only person, the kids seemed upset. I think I gave myself more crap for being Mr. Mean to these kids than the parents, surprisingly. But yeah, they were shocked. I mean, like I said, I think they kind of understood that they were staying past the time they were allotted. So, and the library kind of helped me with that. Like, you know, forgive me for blanking on something that happened. On every little detail, something that happened years ago, but the library was, I kind of had to go to the library and tell them, hey, this is what happened, and they were cooperative and helped me with that.
Okay, the bar is very nice.
Yeah, comedian Bill Stone actually helped us get that. Now, when you actually, when you say bar, do you mean the bar where we had the DeFranco's fight scene or the reunion scene itself?
The scene where Science Boys has his first drink.
Oh, okay. Then yeah, you're thinking of the DeFranco fight scene. Yeah, Bill Stone helped us get that, and believe it or not, the scene where the two DeFranco scenes, the one where Science Boy has his first drink and the one where Killjoy hires the DeFrancos, those were actually just two different sides of the same room, if
I
you can
was
believe
wondering that.
that.
Yes, I can.
But yeah, that was a fun scene to film. Yeah, one funny thing that happened on that during that the filming of that scene is we use the old film trick of mostly using iced tea in place of booze, but Daniel, the bartender, accidentally poured a little something in there, and I didn't want to drink it because I had to drive home. But Dominic didn't mind being the cleanup crew for that one.
Ha ha. Interesting. Okay, continuing on. I want to go to the coffee shop as my last location. And that would be, you know what I'm talking. Is it a real coffee shop? It felt like one.
No, it
Or
was it. We tried to get a coffee shop, but unfortunately, but the one place was actually really cooperative and was really excited to help us film there, but the locations, but I it might have been a schedule issue or just because bear in mind, Stephanie was coming from Cincinnati. She lives in Indiana, so it was a, and bear in mind, she brought a whole team with her. So it wasn't a, so like we had to work around that schedule since she was coming quite the distance to help us film. So we had to, be very accommodating to her as well. I mean, I see it as a two-way street. It's like, hey, she's helping me make this movie. Let's show a little courtesy. And so it might have just not gelled with her schedule, but it was, believe it or not, that coffee shop was actually part of someone's house.
I was wondering that. So you just set dressed it with the open and close sign. Because I wasn't sure. I'm like, this really could be somebody's kitchen. Because they had that little enclave. I'm like, but I gotta ask. Just because I think it's the way you shot it's kind of confusing to me. Because you shot it like I would a coffee shop. Because the way you bring them in, and you don't show me anything else. So I only see really the table. Like,
Yeah,
I
we
don't.
were yeah, Stephanie was very careful about that. I've been doing this long enough that I've had to learn a thing or two about being creative with I've had to learn a thing or two about being creative with locations. Like off the top of my head, I think about when we were trying to film, when we were filming Pinheads, and we had to do one, almost half an episode after we lost our, after the bowling alley we were filming at was no longer usable, and we had to film at another, and we had to film at another location. So we just said, oh, he blew a gas pipe. And they were just hanging out at another place. So yeah, I've been doing this long enough to know how to use locations and think on the fly and rewrite when we have to use different locations.
So, during Pinheads, do you use a green screen, or is this your first time using a green screen?
I do not believe. I believe we had to do some green screen work, but there wasn't a whole lot. We had to do some recasting on the first season of Pinhead because I hired an actor for my pilot that lived in a completely different state, but and we fleetingly considered using a green screen for that, but ultimately decided to just recast and honestly, the guy we got with, for Bernie ended up being really cool and ended up really working out. So, sometimes these things work out.
Okay, I do want to focus just a little bit on one character in the film. My personal favorite character, the owner of the theater.
Jerry, yeah, Jerry's been a friend of mine. You asked where I found some of these people. I have been friends with him since I have been friends with him since we worked together on Pinhead when he played that boss. And it's like, man, I know I want this guy for something. Like, I was thinking of him for that character. I knew he was gonna audition, and I was thinking of him before I was actually thinking of him before I started working on production, and I was thinking, like, because I knew him well enough, and it's like, okay, I know I want him for something. And yeah, I've been doing that a lot in some of my movies. Like, I cast him in The Christmas special as Einstein. Obviously, we had to buy some makeup, but that kind of worked. It's like, hey, with all this makeup, it's less obvious that it's the same person. And I knew that I wanted him for my most recent film, The Buddy System, where he was so excited to play the prosecuting attorney in that. But yeah, I just knew that he would be so great for that character because he's got this so deadpan, it circles back to funny demeanor
Yes,
about him.
it does. Okay, as we're wrapping up, can I have your favorite film?
Pardon?
Your favorite film,
Oh,
please.
my favorite movie is Back to the Future.
Okay, that is referenced in here. I'll give you that. Number two, your favorite superhero?
Toss up between Batman and Spider-Man. Batman definitely represented better. I think has had so much great media. Spider-Man, I've read the most comics. I have a hard time finding a blank spot for Spider-Man. In fact, though, I have a hard time finding a blank spot for Spider-Man stuff I haven't read. Well, I hate to admit there's swaths of Batman comics I still haven't read, mostly from the Golden Silver Age, but I digress. Spider-Man definitely had the bigger influence on Science Boy. I definitely feel like Science Boy's high school reunion is the story of someone who learns the Spider-Man lesson in the third act instead of the first.
Okay, tell everybody where they can find your projects.
Okay, you can find Science Boy's High School Reunion. It is current in this in the US. It is currently on Xumo. That's XUMO. It's currently on Fossum. While you're on Fossum, you can also see me in the movies Gemini and In the Hands of Fate. It was recently added to Toki Video, which I know was an excite which I know is exciting for you because you can watch that's Toki, Toky Video. I know that was exciting for you because you can watch it outside of the US.
Yes, we can. That's where I saw it.
You can find the Christmas special Science Boys High School Reunion on YouTube. You can also watch I've been doing more cons in character to promote Science Boy. And let me tell you, printing stickers with my QR code, that was just such a great investment because my residual checks have been coming a little more often, and I've been getting a little more money with them. But you can also find Pinhead and Science Boys High School Reunion on Prime if you want to rent them. And something I'm super excited about is that Science Boys High School Reunion recently got a Blu-ray release.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you for your time, and you have a great day.
Hey, thanks for having me.